We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Gallinari with 1 foot in the logo.
Oh,
you kidding me?
You just witnessed
the
history.
Most threes ever given up by a Boston Celtic team.
I have to be better. I have to be more vocal. I have to, kind of be the example.
Dale Arnold.
Any team that's willing to spend big is a destination for free. If the Patriots are willing to pay top dollar for players, they're going to be in the mix.
Rich Keefe.
It really seemed like Marcus Mariota was going to be on the move. Could Mariota be released and then end up picking his own team?
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart with Fitzy.
I don't know.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
There is no truth to the rumor that after seeing the Celtics trail by 23 at the half last night to the Atlanta Hawks, Rich Keefe pulled the plug on today's program. Today's absence was pre-scheduled, but I'm sure last night didn't help it any.
And it was on the ninth three-pointer by Danilo Gallinari that Rich Keefe officially went dead inside, joining me in perpetuity, having no feelings at all, head to toe.
See, I'm an optimist. I thought they were just setting up.
Wait, what?
Are you doing a tight five? Are you testing out your stand-up this morning?
What's that called? A tight five?
If you're gonna do either like a set at a to like get spots at a club or audition for like Fallon, you need to have your best 5 minutes. They call it a tight five.
Oh, give me the best you got. Gotta have it.
And did maybe the fast five.
Maybe that should be a new segment on the show, Tight Five. Everyone prepares their...
I kind of like it. If we still were doing Sundays together, if Tangway weren't coming out of his self-imposed to whatever the hell it was, mm-hmm. we could try the Tight Five on Sundays. But are you eating?
No, I'm just having a recovery drink after having worked out this morning to prepare for the slog and battle royale that'll be my 3 hours on the show today.
I don't know why, but for some reason, I've done a lot of these with a lot of people. You being on my screen very large disturbs me. You make me feel uncomfortable. Like, I feel like you're looking
Welcome
into
to the
my
club.
Soul.
Mm-hmm. Shime, knock it off.
Everybody else is fine. Rich, Dale, everybody.
Is it because of my consistent use of virtual backgrounds? Is it because of my devastating game show chin? Is it because of my perfectly coiffed, fresh out of the shower hair? Is
it
because
of
the fact
the
that
background.
I'm always looking at you, staring into the empty vacancy motel of your soul?
Is it because of my
magnum dong?
Or that.
Wait, what? I don't think that's okay.
Record time.
Okay, so let me get back to me being an optimist.
Okay.
I thought maybe.
I need a fainting couch.
I thought maybe they were setting up for the, hey, we can blow 24-point leads, but we can come back from 23-point leads. And the other team shooting, I know they're shooting 61% from three. Is that really going to continue? It's our turn to get hot. And then... Never really
happened. Because Andy, right? The Boston sports fan says 25-point deficits, bro, to Atlanta teams. We got
Boom.
That. Come on.
No t-shirts are necessary after this one.
Ugh. Here's my my hot sports take after having watched last night.
Ooh, an HST from Dale.
This is going to cost Brad his job. I know that Danny did an appearance across the street earlier today, and, you know, this is all my fault. Roster construction is my fault. Did all the stuff that you should do, as a good general manager. But Danny's not going to fire himself. Wick's not going to fire him. They're not going to trade away Jalen and Jason. And ultimately, this whole slide that they're on right now is going to cost Brad Stevens his job. And it's too bad because I think he's actually a pretty good coach.
Certainly, those are the types of games that cause reactions, right? Something has to change. Something
lack of effort.
Yes, and we talked about it. Remember when we joked about week 10 days ago now when they were talking about rock bottom and Jaylen Brown said, this isn't what rock bottom is, and I said, does he mean that it's going to actually get worse from here? Well, it has.
It did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It did. It has, and it's so difficult. If he hadn't signed that extension last year, don't you think it would have just been like, oh, yeah, he gone? But you invested in him. I almost think an effort like last night's almost feels like he's just – checked out, to steal a term from Pat McAfee that he accused Bill Belichick of during the football season that I did not agree with. But if you're Brad Stevens, you certainly don't want to quit. Then you got to get the money back. You just signed an extension.
No, you can
fire me, though, if you want.
They have to fire him. That's the only way he's leaving.
Are there buyouts with coaches when they have long contracts where you – so it's not like you can negotiate a buyout with a player who then can go sign somewhere else. This is full this is guaranteed money.
The only thing I don't know is
if the offset stuff.
Yeah, if there's any
somebody
offset.
Somebody else hires him.
Because he'll get hired. He's
like
going somewhere quick.
A non-compete. He could go back to college and be a star. He could pull a Nick Saban or a Steve Spurrier and go back to college within 12 calendar months and be a star once again. But it's not working in the pros, Andy.
No question. And I actually think, and I was spitballing this in my head for a column idea for tomorrow. You guys know, or maybe you don't, but I throw out the term Peter principle, that you ascend to the position upon which you fail.
What?
Listen, get your mind out of the gutter. Peter can be something other than a Peter. You don't have to automatically think Peter when I say Peter. So the Peter principle, you ascend to a position upon which you fail. And I'm wondering if we're seeing that with Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics, and don't want to be Mr. Negative after I said I'm an optimist, your two superstars.
Wow.
Like, right, they've been a positive train, chugging along, getting better, building. But when you start to, and we all know this, we build people up to tear them down. You reach a point where we start saying, you know, it's like the other day Rich Keefe said that John Collins is the most underrated player in the NBA. Right up until everybody agrees on it, then he becomes overrated because everybody
right.
says he's
yeah.
underrated. These Celtics have been building towards something with Stevens, with Jason Tatum, and with Jaylen Brown, and now they're not building anymore. At best, they're spinning their wheels. At worst, they've regressed and are now just a mediocre, middle of the pack, closer to last place as you are to first place kind of team. And I just wonder if they've maxed out. And if that's the case, Brad is at the top of that list, in my opinion.
Yeah, see, I fear in yes anding that, Andy, I fear we may have seen the ceiling for what they are capable of with this roster. Over the past 4 years, just as a dynamic duo trying to lead the team to the promised land. I feel like in absence of either great coaching, better coaching, or another tough guy, vocal leader, intense veteran presence who can elevate, who can get even more out of them, not just in, like they're good for like 50 to 65 points a night, it seems. That's great. That's what you want out of two all-stars on the same team that, by the way, now is two games under 500. But I think without
that
extra
somebody.
But that can't
be all there is. That can't be. It's not just,
right.
Oh, well, they're going to give me 60 points.
No, and that's my point, Dale, is that they'll give you 48 to 62 a night, it seems. But that's not good enough. They need somebody else to come in there, set a defensive tone, be a vocal leader, clear some room for the kids to do their work. Because if it's just them left unto themselves, they have never actually been there, as duped into thinking that they have been, that we may be. They've gone to the conference finals a couple times, but have never actually gone to the promised land of the finals, and they're not going to get there as presently constituted.
The other part of this, and unfortunate, I can't remember which of the two superstars, if it was Brown or Tatum, post-game yesterday, said, and I'm paraphrasing, yeah, we're listening to the things that Brad says. The minute you have to say that, you're in trouble. Yeah, we're listening to him, you know, but the effort's not there. Oh, no, that's... And Brad, in his post game, says, you know, I have my moments, you know, saying stuff to these guys. And I'm thinking, oh, no. This is – as soon as a coach has to somehow defend how tough he is on his team, as soon as a player has to say, yeah, well, you know, we're listening to the stuff Brad is saying, then that means you're not.
Right. Have you tuned your coach out? No, we're listening to him. Sure you are. Because, I mean, you'd have to be a real – Kyrie type a-hole to say, nope, we actually stopped listening about 10 days ago. If you
and everyone else is not what I say in the locker room necessarily. How you say it is certainly very important. I've had my moments. Let's put it that way.
So he's trying to tell me he's had his temper tantrums. He's tried to emphasize. Hey, that's
not
him. Oh,
I peeled the paint off the walls in there. Don't you worry. And by the way, if that's true, I hadn't seen any results from it.
No, no. And that's the issue. Things have gotten worse, not better. And they've been. It's not like this is, you know, suddenly came out of nowhere. They've been floundering all season and starting to head towards bottom out for multiple weeks now, losing to bad teams, losing leads to bad teams, and inability to stop anybody. Shime, I've said this forever. If there's ever a prop bet, it's the other team's star take the over against the Celtics. Because every time they play somebody with an ounce of talent, he's getting 30 to 45 points. You can book it every single game. And we can talk about, you know, we brought this up earlier in the week, Marcus Smart, and they don't have the grit and balls, Kevin Garnett guy. I talked about it with Mutt last night. And that's true. But do you want your fourth best player? Like, does Marcus Smart have to be the leader of this team? Because Brad Stevens isn't, because Kemba Walker isn't. And that's a different one, too, because it's hard to be a leader when you're not, you know, playing every game and you're not playing up to your salary and those types of things. And then I get back to your stars. And I guess I'm a hater. I might be a Jason Tatum hater. You're either, a critic, a hater, whatever. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum's a superstar, right? Everybody agrees? Superstar. Mutt thinks he's a top 10 player. He's not. I made the list. It was very easy to come up with 10 that are better than him. It doesn't take you more than 2 minutes. But the bigger issue I have with him, the inconsistency. His numbers are fine. You can give me all his season averages. They look great if we want to be one of these, like, analytics. Oh, look at this number. Oh, the only guys that have had these types of numbers are all Hall of Famers. They're this, they're that. That's great. I watch a lot of games where there's times where he is just not a positive force for the Celtics basketball team. Last night was one of them. What did he shoot last night? 1 of 8 from the three-point line? Like, as you're falling into a hole, your superstar is supposed to be the guy that says, don't worry, boys, hop on. Mm-hmm. Grab the cape. We're going somewhere right now. I'm going to make sure this doesn't get ugly. He doesn't do that. So he's not a superstar.
Yeah, where's the one of my favorite lines for the proverbial, like, in sports, we're going into battle. Like, everyone loves to quote their favorite war movie. You know, from 300, it's like, come home with your shield or on it. Who's the guy who tells them, like, you know, live and die on this day, or, like,
smart.
We're going to die on the court? Yeah, it
it's
is,
smart.
Right?
It's definitely smart.
And that's 2 weeks ago when we had John Corrales on, when you and I were doing the Sunday show, and he said, we pointed out that stat that they've only played, the core four of the Celtics this year have only played 28 minutes together, which is just staggering. That is your core. Everyone thinks, like, it's a big three with Kemba, Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Like, no, it really needs to be a core four with this team, because without his tenacity, without his leadership, without his energy, without his defense, and without his, you know, infuriating heat checks, the Celtics are missing their emotional core when Marcus Smart is off the floor, and it's a bummer, Andy.
Danny Ainge, speaking earlier today across the street, said this is a Danny Ainge and our player commitment issue more than anything else.
Yeah, that's because he's defending his guy. He gave an extension to.
He's defending one guy.
Right.
And he's trying to, you know, buck this guy up here. Our player commitment issue. That is a huge red flag for me. I mean, you've got young core superstars, prime of their lives, prime of their careers, one of them making huge money, the other one's going to, and they're not committed to this?
Right, and you can only be talking about, like, four guys, right? Four guys. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the rest of the roster, you don't know whether Peyton Pritchard and Neesmith.
You can move them in, move them out, it doesn't matter.
And if they're not committed, okay, well, they're bench guys, maybe you made the right. But if you're talking about the commitment of our players, that's the core. That's the core four right there. Right, there's nobody else you should really be. Even Jeff Teague and Tristan Thompson, I don't know, they were off-season additions. They're not very good, but are you talking about their commitment? Whatever. If you're questioning, so who's he talking about? Is it Jaylen Brown? Is it Jason Tatum? Is it Kemba Walker? Or is it Marcus Smart?
Or
can't
all
be Smart.
Well, he's not here right now. But, yeah, I mean.
He's committed. He's getting teased when he's not in games.
I hate to say it. It's those two.
Yes, I agree. And I don't. This isn't to say that they can't go to where people think they can go, but they are experiencing some growing pains here. Growing from everybody loves us, we're the ascending young talents. Did you know Jason Tatum, just 19 years old, son of a bitch, just 19, the things he's doing at the age of 19. Oh, no. Now you're the star. Now it's time for you to put, you know, I was reading a great Tanner Houck story about his mom, always used to tell him, time for you to put your big boy panties on and get back out there. Loved it. Single mom. Maybe my all-time favorite quote from anyone. It's time for them to put their big boy superstar underwear on, their undies, and get out there and be who they are. Or we decide they're not who we thought they were going to be. They aren't superstars. They aren't taking you to that promised land. But I think whether it's gameplay, how they're playing, oh, are you guys scorers? Is it me basketball where we just take turns going one-on-one and it's, oh, it's my turn down the court. I'm going to score on this. Oh, JT, it's your turn down. I'll be out here, but you score on this. And then leadership and the attitude that they bring to the table. I tend to just, this is just me. I like Jaylen Brown's attitude more than Jason Tatum's. Jason Tatum has a whiny, sulky, pouty attitude at times that I don't think is positive for the basketball team.
Don't you think maybe he's just a little quiet and Jaylen Brown is a little more, I'm not going to say political. He strikes me as an introspective thinker who has the soul of an activist, and he's a bit philosophical. Like, he's a very smart kid.
Yes,
and he's
very.
A bit philosophical at times.
Also has an edge.
Yes, and he does have an edge, and that makes a great compliment to the leader who's going to be out. See, that's why I think he and Marcus Smart probably clash, because they share similar energies, but at the same time, their combination of leadership and energy can be great for the team. For a guy like Jason Tatum to be getting $39 million a year for 5 years on this max or whatever, close to max, super yep. max, ultra max contract, whatever the hell it is you're allowed to make at that age, and still sometimes not convince me that he's the guy who can say, get on my back, or I got you, bro, or I'm going to get this done tonight, then that's disappointing. And also, I can't help but wonder if Jaylen Brown is making $27.5 million and Tatum's going to be making $39 million a year, does Jaylen Brown already think like, well, I'm averaging a point less than you and I'm playing a more complete game. How come I'm making $12 million a year less than you?
Right, and I don't sulk. I actually try to lead. I've always said, watching 20 years of Patriots football, to be a leader, a true leader, you got to have a little a-hole in you. There's no leader that doesn't have that. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a fine line. You can't be a full-time a-hole.
No, but you can't be an insufferable jerk, but there definitely can be, like,
Teddy Bruschi, mm-hmm. those guys, Vince Wilfork, some great leaders that have gone through that locker room weren't afraid to say, hey, dumbass, get in your playbook, or, you know, slap a guy in the head when right. he's getting out of line. Like, you have to have that. If I were just looking at the two pillars of the Celtics' future, I think Jaylen Brown has that, and I think that's going to grow. He's still relatively young. He has more of a Kevin Garnett mentality in my mind. Like, the other night, there was something that stuck out to me. I forgot who was on the foul line. It might have been Dallas, and there was a timeout, and there had been like a little just kind of thing under the basket before the timeout, and he clearly walked right through the guy. Literally just put his shoulder down and walked through the guy and said, you're a peon on my court, right? Like, he got the alpha nature. He had his, you know, the dander was a little bit up on it. You have to have that. You just have to have that if you're going to take a team of super men and take them, you know, by the neck and just grab them and lead them to greatness. I don't know if Jason Tatum has that. I also don't know, to go back to Dale, I don't know if their coach has that. And if their coach doesn't have it and their best player, theoretically their best player, doesn't have it, therein lies the problem.
I have had my moments.
And we all have your moments. You're the head coach in the NBA. We will give you the assumption that it's the hardest sport to coach, right? Mm-hmm. It's the absolute, not X's and O's wise. I mean, hardest sport to coach, egos and contracts. And wait, that guy makes five times as much as me and he barely plays. This guy makes three times as much as me and he's a mediocre starter. Like, dealing with the hierarchy of the NBA is nearly impossible. It's why you see great coaches. How many times is that a league where you win coach of the year and you're out of your job the next year? It's like coach of the year, fired. You get another job because you are a good coach. There's very few long-standing, you know, Popoviches and Kerrs. Mm-hmm. Good coaches move around in the NBA. It's the way of the world. I don't think it's an easy job, but it comes with the job, and I'm back to where Dale is. Can he do it? Can he be the leader of superstar men through struggles, through expectations, through failures? Right now, the answer would be a simple no, he can't, because he hasn't.
And how long will Wick allow this to go? Will Wick and Steve Pagliuca, you know, how long did they let it continue to slide? Because even Danny admits that, you know, he's seeing some troubling signs here. How long before the owners of the team go to the general manager of the team and say, hey, this just can't keep going?
Well, we're not really sure, and it may be difficult to get the right answer or the right perspective on that, Dale, because it's not affecting their bottom line yet. Like, we haven't heard anything about it.
There are no fans in the stands.
There's no fans. We don't know if it's affecting merch. Anything where it touches their pocketbook or their bottom line with no fans. We haven't heard anything about a precipitous drop in TV ratings. So now is a time where they might let it slide a little longer.
I don't know what their TV ratings are like. I don't follow theirs. I follow mine. I don't know.
That's Dale's first flex of the day.
Yep.
I'm just saying that I don't worry
just
about
just put them on the table right there, boys. Here they go.
I think the bottom line here, though, is that these owners don't just care about the bottom line. They do. Every owner does. That's, you know, you're in business. But I don't think Wick is sitting there or Steve is sitting there saying, you know what, fellas, we don't have fans in the stands anyway, so it's not like he's costing us ticket money. Let's just keep going. No, I think they live and die with this product, with this franchise.
I do
and they
too.
See it, and they see it sliding downhill, and even if it's not costing them tickets, because it's not, I don't want it to be like this. I don't want to own a team that looks like this does right now.
And he made the comment earlier this week or yesterday, 2 days ago, that, you know, if we move on from either of those guys, they're immediately the best available in the NBA. They will be hired. They will be thought highly of. And that may be true. You know, there's probably some truth to that. Or, you know, in Brad Stevens' case, maybe best available NBA and or college. He could have the pick of any basketball job in the country. That in and of itself is not a reason to not move on, right? If it's not working here, you can't live out of fear that, oh, but he might be a good coach somewhere else. That may be. Is he a good coach for you right now? Is it working with your roster, your talent, your expectations, what you are supposed to be as a basketball team? And I think even Brad Stevens would say, it's not working. He just didn't, I have my moments. What do you mean you have your moments? This is a full-time job. It's not a moments job.
I've had my moments.
You're only allowed to
say
that.
Five? He's given his tight five. I need the full routine, Brad, not just a tight five.
You know, like you're in a relationship, you can say that in jest sometimes when you surprise your significant other and, you know, do something like, oh, I never expected. And you can be like, well, I have my moments.
I've had my moments.
Like, sounds like my life.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds a lot like mine, too. But you're not allowed to say, like, I have my moments. We need consistency, especially with a younger team, which is what the Celtics have, with kids that have gotten to a certain level but continue to just bump up against that ceiling but have not been able to penetrate it or break it and get to this next level. And in fact, like you said a few minutes ago, Andy, we may be watching a full-blown regression right now from two all-stars on a team that continues to go to the conference finals. You can't have that. So now Wick and Danny and company are sitting there saying, is this a Brad issue? Is this a dynamic duo issue, or is this a rest of the team issue? Now, and that's going to be tough to figure out, but they better figure it out fast.
Let's make sure we're clear on something. When Bill Belichick stands at the podium after an ugly loss, he's not exactly Captain Chuckles. We understand that. But it is, we've all got to be better. We got to coach better. We got to play better. And we weren't good enough in any aspect of the game. But he doesn't blister guys standing at the podium. He didn't say, well, you know, if Cam Newton didn't throw five balls into the dirt, we might have had a chance. He's not going to do that. I don't expect Brad to do that. I'd have no respect for him if he did. I've never heard Bill Belichick say, well, you know, sometimes I get after him in there. I have my moment. He doesn't have to.
Right, he doesn't have to. He has a cachet that he can live off of, too, though.
Sure.
That's part of the problem as well. Brad has no cachet. Like, Brad was anointed a great coach, even though Brad has never won a thing, right? Which I find interesting. My former radio partner, Cattle, he's a top 3 to 5 NBA coach. And I was like, really? How many of the other top 3 to 5 have never actually won a damn thing? They've never actually competed for a damn thing because they haven't gotten past the point to actually compete for it. So that's a challenge that he faces. When he's yelling, there's no, like, bling waving in front of the player's eyes. Like, I've been there. Danny has. That's the one thing you can say about Danny. He's accomplished it. He has finished the job. But, Dale, I have a question for you. So you made it clear. You think it's time for Brad to go, right?
Like, I think whether I think it's time or not, my point was I think this is going to cost him his job.
Okay, so let's play radio. You are the owner of the Boston Celtics, and there's a chain of command, correct? So you go to Danny and say, Danny, I know it's tough. I think we both love, respect Brad. It's time. And Danny goes, no, it isn't. Do you overstep the bound? Because the general manager right now, Danny Ainge, is all in on defending Brad Stevens, his coach, right? The guy he gave
extension publicly.
To all that. Publicly.
Yeah, but he's not gonna hang him out to dry.
Let's pick that very question up. Let's pick it up on the other side because I think it's a good question. What if Wick says, hey, it's time to make a move, and the GM says, no, I don't want to make a move? We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Jeff Goodman's going to join us at the top of the hour, superb basketball analyst for the stadium. He's the one who wrote earlier this week about anonymous NBA players saying, those guys don't make anybody better. The Celtics guys, you know, they don't try to help anybody. We'll talk about that with Jeff at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe. No Rich today. Andy's here. Fitzy's here. And it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Andy, I can't wait for you to come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I mean that honestly.
On WEEI.
Back outside, Collins straightaway three, knocks it down. Snell from the corner, knocks down a three, kicking it back outside. Snell from the other side. Young from deep, buries it. Young knocks down another. Here comes another deep three. That goes. Gallinari gets it back, knocks it down. Gallinari with 1 foot in the logo.
Oh,
you kiss me? Young. Oh, come on. Herta with a crossover. In the paint, kicks it to the corner. Collins for three. Young kicks it back out. Gallinari passes up, now takes it.
Oh, jeez.
He's back. Gets to Gallinari with time. Oh, get out of here.
I think he just hit another one while we were sitting here. Gallinari was just on fire, but everybody's on fire when they play the Celtics here of late.
Yeah, it feels like it might be a defensive thing.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and suggest it might not. It might be a them problem. So let's get to the question Andy asked before the break, because I think it's a fascinating question. We'll get right to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes here. If Wick and Steve go to Danny today and say, listen, I love Brad as much as you love Brad, but we just can't keep going like this. It's time to make a move. And Danny at that point says, I don't want to make a move. What happens next?
We got a standoff. Two guys pointing a gun at
you.
Spider-Man.
You don't have a standoff. You have two guys who have got the check writing capabilities and one guy who's an employee.
But one guy who's an employee that says, he go, I go. Right, we're a package deal.
If he would be willing to say that, and I don't know that.
I don't know. We're doing a lot of sort of presuming and assuming here, and you know what happens when you assume.
I know.
But we know publicly, and we know through his actions, because less than, what was it now, 6 months ago, he gave him an extension. So he had no indication or even a feeling that he might be coming to some decision. So he gave him the extension, unless it's
which presumably
parachute.
Ownership signed off on.
Yes, although it could be a golden parachute part of the plan. Maybe he knows the players are about to tune him out, and he wants to do his boy a favor, so he gives him an extension.
That's an awfully big favor.
That's that's a nice favor.
Yeah, I'd be appreciative if it were me. But is he willing to say no? You know, like the people that say, I love Bill the coach, but somebody's got to take over the GM duties. Well, you're not doing that, because if you say you're not the GM anymore, he's also not the head coach anymore, because I think he walks out that door and slams it behind him in your face. Are you willing to go head-to-head with Danny on this decision, or do you say Danny's won before? We've trusted Danny for a long time. He hasn't led us astray necessarily, you know, over the years.
Which
do you have
would be
to put
all
some
valid.
Faith?
If right. They think that, that's all valid.
So isn't that bad? You know, as an owner, even if you feel something, and they are passionate fans, this is not some owner that sits in an office building and shows up twice a year. This is an owner that sits on the baseline and high-fives people after dunks and steals and breakaways, right?
He's
that's
engaged
passionate.
And passionate for sure. Yo, he's a huge fan. And that's what that's part of one of the reasons why we love him, aside from the fact that they win, Andy.
But you could also argue that he's too close. Like, he is a fan. And fans ride that emotional roller coaster of losing streaks and expectations and maybe don't take the big picture view like a GM like Danny is paid. That's literally what he's paid to do, right? Is to build a team but take a big picture view, not get emotional. Oh, it was a 6-game losing streak. It's time for somebody to be canned or traded or right? Like, that's not what he's paid to do. Could you argue that Danny is more scientific in his approach, less emotional in his approach, even though, you know, he is a player and coach and all that. He has
and was an emotional player, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting.
That's what kind of runs counterintuitive, is because of the fact that Danny was a very engaged, very emotional player, that he had scrapes, that he was in people's faces, that he was the definition of one of those, like, love him on your team. God, would you hate him when he's on any other team in the league type of guys. So for him to transition from that level of intensity and emotion to completely dispassionate as a general manager would be impressive, but I don't find it so likely. And I don't think Wick is going to tell Danny, like, it's his job or it's your job. I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
I agree that Wick would never make it a, hey, do this or you're gone too.
Yeah.
I think it would be, Danny, this isn't working. Let me tell you the reasons why I, as one of the owners of this team, want to make this move.
But isn't it hard to do as an owner? Like, you're the alpha dog of the organization, right? Owners own, everybody else rents. Everybody else has a boss. You don't.
Yep.
You're the boss. So you walk into an employee's office and say, We haven't had this conversation ever. We haven't had to have this conversation. It's time to have this conversation. He needs to go. And the GM says, no, I don't think he does. You just tuck your tail between your legs, turn around and walk. Okay, good talk. I guess we're done here.
No, if it came to that, the conversation you just described,
yep.
Then Danny's got to go too.
Wow.
Whoa.
I can't envision
how that. Do you go from the Eastern Conference Finals to having a clean house?
If the owner owns and he tells one of his employees, this is what I want to have done, that's kind of what has to have done.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Especially... Now, we don't know the inner workings. We don't know, has this ever been broached before? You know, hey, is Brad getting the most out of this team? Like, has he ever asked that question? Or like, are we sure Brad's the right guy for Jalen and Jason? We're building around them. We sure he's... I'm not privy to whether that conversation has ever been spoken or not. But if the owner, who I would say vocally and publicly has said no one's going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. He made that quite clear. I actually thought in his appearance across the street the other day that he made it clear, relax, we're in this for the long haul. There were answers about Jalen and Jason for the next 5 or 10 years, building around, getting to being a winner. There was even a relax. Listen, this trade exception everybody's so excited about, best time to use that might be after the season. So if y'all all ramped up like we're going to go get Bradley Beal or John Collins or one of these, you might want to... You might want to relax for a second, pull the reins in, pump the brakes on that. I thought he was very measured and cautionary in his comments, which would lead me to believe, Dale, Brad Stevens isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I guess it's how patient will this ownership be? For that matter, how patient will Danny be? Because, you know, he's already acknowledged he doesn't like the effort. He doesn't like the enthusiasm of his players. And if this slide that we're seeing right now continues, there has to be a make-or-break point even for Danny and even for Wick.
Correct. And also for the players themselves. And it's interesting you use the word enthusiasm, Dale, because Jaylen Brown had some comments about energy and effort and enthusiasm that I found that really struck a tone in my head last night.
You know, I think it's been a challenge for this group to go from game to game with no time in between and execute game plans. And I can tell the mental focus is not there. It's not enough. It's almost as if it's like, you know, I don't know, but it just isn't there. But we just got to be better going game to game to having the right enthusiasm and the right mentality for each game, which is tough.
Oh, my gosh. Does that speak to the lack of leadership from the top on this team and from coaching? And like, hey, guess what? Other teams have to play back-to-backs with travel involved. Other teams have to play superstars like Luka Doncic and Trae Young back-to-back. Guess what? They don't get to make excuses. Other people are really good at hitting threes. The three-point shot is what people live and die by in the NBA now. Guess what? You're going to have to find a way to make sure that you defend it better, especially when someone's on a heater like Gallinari last night. Sorry, guys. This is the way the NBA in 2021 is played. Catch up or get out of the way.
As my old boss used to say, you know this man, Fitzy, this is the business you have chosen. Like, the schedule gets tough. You got to work all night. You got to work on... If you don't like this business, go find another business. But if you want to be in this business, Jalen, and that's what concerns me, is I am concerned about Jalen Brown. He feels defeated. And I don't mean scoreboard defeated. I don't mean they got blown out.
By the way, he's kind of felt that way for a little while now.
Couple weeks.
This
couple
wasn't
weeks
last
now.
Night.
Yes.
This has been several weeks. And I thought it was, you know, the strain of these two guys having to carry this basketball team, especially with the departure of Marcus Smart. And, you know, how long can we keep having to do this? Kemba's hurt half the time. Marcus is out. It's us or it's nobody. But you know what? Suck it up and play.
And didn't we think that's what he wanted, a bigger role? Mm-hmm. Like he wanted, you know, Gordon Hayward's gone now, so there's more opportunities. He was the most efficient player in the bubble. He's going to get more touches now and all of these things. Like, he doesn't want to just hang out in the corner and wait for his opportunity. He wants to take the bull by the horns. Well, I guess careful what you wish for, because you're getting your chance. You're a more focal point of the offense and of the team and of the scoring and all of that. And now you sound defeated, and I don't know, again, that gets back to Brad, right? If your best player sounds defeated for a 2+ week span,
I feel like maybe you should do something about that.
And you're not at the halfway point of the schedule yet.
What's he going to do? Have another pizza party? Is he going to invite him in for some girl? Scriptive. Come on.
When I heard it last night, I thought, you can't be defending yourself with this stuff.
Right.
You can't, you know. All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Dre's in Providence. Hey, Dre.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Morning.
It's a little tough watching the Celtics. I think everyone agreed. I guess if you're saying who would have to go if the owners came down and said who would have to go, would it be Danny? Would it be Fire Coach Stevens? Or would you guys trade Tatum, Jalen, or both?
No.
I think it would have to be Danny Ainge, to be honest. Going with the Patriots, I think we all agree and we all said that, you know, Belichick doesn't do the best. It doesn't have the best track record with trades. Well, Danny Ainge, he's having a tough time. I mean, Brad Stevens, you can make a case that he doesn't really have all the players as he's had in past. And, he can't really, who does he have to help Jason and Jalen?
Well, they thought they had Kemba Walker, who, should be a third All-Star caliber player. They thought, and they do have Marcus Smart. He's just temporarily, for the moment, out of the lineup. By the way, for all the grief Marcus Smart has taken in these parts from time to time, now that you don't have him for a little bit, he seems a hell of a lot more important than you thought he did.
Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged.
Too. Absolutely.
I was ready to trade him at the deadline this year, and now I absolutely think you can't trade him because you need him maybe as much as you have your two young superstars.
You can't trade him as long as you keep the team as presently constituted, Dale. Like, if you were to involve him and one of the kids for an absolute megastar or, like, a giant haul, and you were to reset, which we all think is a little bit reactionary, but listen, you never know. Danny's done some bold things before in the past. They need Marcus Smart, and they need him in the worst way. I don't know who that guy is, but I also...
Who could you trade one or both? Not both. You can't trade both. So who could you pair one of your stars, your all-stars, who could you pair with trade exception, money, first-round picks, Marcus Smart? Who would you get back and feel and realistic? Right? We've talked about that with Deshaun Watson or Russell. Like, realistically, I mean, Bradley Beal, would you feel better? If they traded Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum together?
No, yeah. there wouldn't be enough basketballs on the floor.
Well, that's what we said about Brooklyn, and there seems to be enough basketballs on the floor for Brooklyn. They're going to set records with how you can score a basketball, right?
And also give up points.
Well, Celtics are giving up plenty of points, too. Yeah, They're just not scoring enough.
Phil is up in Maine. Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it. Hey, so a couple of few things here. I'm concerned that we actually are closer to having a couple Scottie Pippins, and especially Tatum, maybe less, a little bit less than Jalen, than we do like a big Michael Jordan type-esque player, franchise player. These guys, I don't know what's going on, but they're not seeming to work well with the team and maybe off each other, which is something that is not going to bode well for these guys. You know, it's really hard when you guys talk about Brad Stevens, and there's a lot of frustration. And the reason why is because I don't understand why the hell it's so hard to decide when to fire Jackie Moon, because that's what he's coaching like. That's what the guy reminds me of, honestly. You look at his career. He's in his eighth season. Doc Rivers had 9 seasons with the Celtics, one of which he took them to a title. Then I believe they had another appearance. He had multiple years where he was in the playoffs. We're talking about holding on to a coach right now that hasn't gone anywhere close to that. He's got him into the final, East Finals, but never gone past that. And there's always an excuse. And it's just ridiculous to see how this guy is managing the team.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with what you're seeing. More than anything else, the results don't bother me as much as the apparent lack of effort does.
And then the vocalized lack of enthusiasm, right? Like, you have your star players vocalizing some questions about the effort and enthusiasm.
I'd like to give Phil a couple of reference points for the Jackie Moon call from Semi-Pro Andy. Underrated comedy.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's very good, very funny. One of the sneaky better Will Ferrell ones, like we were talking on Sunday with Tangway, the other guys as well.
Yep.
Excellent movie. But he brings up he says we have a couple of Scottie Pippins. Now, one of the comps everyone loves to make is everyone wants to say, who's the next Kobe? Who's the next MJ? Who's the next Brady? So we like to think that these kids, the dynamic duo, have a little bit of a Jordan Pippin. That's at least what we thought we'd be getting in Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown plays a little more defense, dishes the ball off a little more. Tatum's the alpha dog, and he scores the ball more. Okay, I don't remember Scottie Pippen outscoring Michael Jordan as many nights as he complimented him. Like, this dynamic, like, maybe we need to, like, stop worrying about the whole team and just figure out how these two can better complement each other instead of just I score, you score, I score, you score, because that may help the team on the whole going forward as well.
We'll talk to Jeff Goodman at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe. No Rich today, but Hart and Fitzy are in the house here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Dale and Keefe recapping last night's Celtics loss.
You just witnessed history. Most threes ever given up by a Boston Celtic team.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Shot last night on the telecast that, as I watched it, I felt was both good news and bad news. And there was a huddle, Celtics huddle on the sideline during a timeout, and Marcus Smart was there and very vocal, you know, talking to his teammates. Now the good news is Marcus Smart took it upon himself to be part of the leadership core here, and hey, come on, let's get this thing figured out. The bad news is a guy who's not even playing in the game has to do that, as opposed to a couple of your young superstars who maybe they're too young to be able to assume that mantle properly yet. That's possible, by the way. You're not born with the leadership gene necessarily. You may have it in you, but you have to develop it, is how I should more properly put it. But the fact that Marcus Smart felt, hey, I got to say something here. Something's got to be done.
And I always, last fall in the bubble, I thought that was a negative. You know, I think I used the phrase, he fills a leadership void. Like, because he is a junkyard dog and an alpha, when there's a void above him, whether it's the coach or the superstars, he immediately, instincts take over, he steps up. And I thought maybe that was a bad thing. Maybe you needed to move on from that to allow the others, the natural leadership in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, to take over. Now I'm not so sure that they are ready or ever will be ready to fill that void, take that role. And that's why you need Marcus Smart to fill the void.
And if it isn't Marcus Smart, and if we've seen the ceiling of what they can do with Marcus Smart there, then, you know, we've asked people like Perk when he's appeared on the show. We've talked about other leaders. We point to things like when PJ, like Kevin Garnett coming in, got them all just about over the top. Then PJ Brown comes in and he's a leader. And that team was just loaded with powerhouse personalities and leaders. Who else in the NBA could become available and add that extra swagger that Danny was talking about on his appearance on Brand X this morning? That little extra something that they are lacking right now.
Well, I'll give you a name, and I don't think he'd become available, and it's a name Celtics fans know.
I love a name.
Rajon Rondo was that guy. Had some of that stuff. Now, he had other issues when he was here, as we all know.
Yes.
There was a TV set that met its demise at his hands. He would, you know, sit in the parking lot beyond the report time for the locker room just because I don't want to go in there when they tell me I have to be in there. Things like that. But he had that little something, that little leadership. Hey, get your act together. Let's go here.
Yeah, I'd be opposed to that. I don't think this team, that would be a good mix. And I think, as you know, he brings baggage or negatives.
Yep.
It's not upside. So
right.
I don't think that would work. I've seen some people, you know, Boogie Cousins becoming available. Would he bring anything? I have no interest in that. Even though we joked about it earlier, he became, for a short period of time, remember he was the voice of reason in Houston, basically telling James Harden to pound sand, get the hell out, we don't need you. And now he's pounding his own sand after pouting and not playing and all those things. I mean, that's a tough job, right? To bring in a guy, you know, we joke about Belichick. Oh, he re-signed McCourty. He re-signed Slater and these guys, at least in part for leadership and captaincy. And, you know, it could be a bumpy year, and we're in a transitional period post-Tom Brady here, and that there's value in that. But those are guys that are mainstays. They've already been here. They also happen to perform at a high level. Who are you going to bring in that is somehow going to tell, you know, whip Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown into shape, into line, show them how to be leaders? I just think that's almost a bigger ask than finding a guy that can just come in and score, you know, 17 points off the bench. That's easier than finding the leader.
We'll get right back to the calls with you guys in a couple of minutes. Jeff Goodman from Stadium is going to join us and talk about this from his perspective. It's Dale and Keefe, no Rich today, but Andy and Fitzy are in the house. Sports Radio, WEEI.